looks like he's got the lantern up looking for one.
You're speaking so early.
Spencer?
Where?
Right here.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Let me explain. One of the reasons we're careful to be sure you get the microphone is that these seminars are taped, and when people buy the tapes, then they can't hear what the question was, and oftentimes the tapes are quite meaningless, so we try to make sure that the question is audible enough to be picked up so that anybody gets a tape knows what the question is and then the answer.
When you say early at Louisiana Downs and sprints, are you speaking primarily of the 6 furlong distance?
I'm speaking of the track period. They're early sprints and routes. You see more routes, Louisiana. They go
routes,
wire,
I agree.
But wire to wire. Wire to wire.
6.5 and 7 furlongs.
I'd rather
sustain, from my experience.
They are running sustained, but they're running early.
But they're running
early sustained.
The printouts that we use, now don't confuse, let me make something clear. I'm making my decisions based on printouts that say this horse is early by these numbers. Now the way he runs that race may not look early, but he's the first one across the finish line because that track is early, and the printout said the early horse is going to win, and he wins. Now how that race goes, they vary in the races themselves. But I'm looking for an indication from the data that tells me what to look for to get the winner. And I don't worry about the fact that I said earlier my horse is 5 lengths back halfway through, and I bet an early horse,
and he comes
barreling down there and he wins. He says, oh, gee, I don't want the money. You know, he didn't run early. He below me. I picked him for early. The track is early. Now, there's a lot of things involved in this that I can't explain, but I do know, and when I say the track is early, it's from the data I've got. When Louisiana Downs opened up in about May, late April or May, I took the previous year's results that I saved, and I ran 60 races through, and I underlined the winners of those races, and I took the data, percent median, third fraction, all kinds of data, the entropy data, TD, on the entropy ranking, on the EXDC ranking. I just had sheets of data, and these were all winners. And when I took the data, I put down on this date, this horse finished, it was in the data, the winner was number one. The winner was number three under TDV. The winner under MUV was the first, the lowest. Put that down. Then I totaled them up. When I got through, I found out there were certain key things that were significant. At Louisiana, the E in entropy, the ranking in entropy, the TDV, which helps Bruce a lot up there in Washington, doesn't help me at Louisiana. It's all over the map. I can't use it there. He can make a fortune using it where he's at and his track. In this particular track, the E and the EXDC ranking is significant. Factor X in EXDC ranking is significant. The MUV and the EMUV, when you get a 0-0 EMUV, is very significant.
Now, was this from charts or was this from?
No, my own races. I ran 60 races from the previous year, gathered this data, and said to myself, this is a fast track, basically. And so then I used these same data points that ended up being significant data points to me. In other words, there were maybe 20 or 30, I don't know how many, and I boiled it down to 5 or 6. Well, those 5 or 6 points are what I look at my printout. Just those 5 or 6 points. I look for confirmation. Which is the earliest in those 5 or 6 points? The one that's got the most votes, that's my bet. The next most votes is my second bet. Okay. Now those we're calling early, but the horse may not run wire to wire in order to win that race. But the data says that he's early. The printouts from his past performances say that he's got these favorable early numbers, and that's what I expect to win, and that's what winning. Remember, my data comes from horses that won, not that ran wire to wire. So it's winning horse data that says it's these early figures tell me this is the horse that wins. And they don't run necessarily in the early sense that wire-to-wire early. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm relying on my data. Thanks.
Vic, if I understand you correct, your early screen then would be the more important one. Yet the winners in this race come off the sustained pace screen.
Oh, well, that's my the sustained pace screen, the second screen, also gives you what you would get with the two adjust.
Gotcha. So,
you understand?
We'll go over that later about the obstacles. Yeah, that's a whole subject.
That's a whole subject that opened the door for me when Jimmy started explaining that one day. That the big white light went on, and I said, "Oh my God!" You know, because you sit there and you worry about what do I do if I get the one adjust or two adjust? If you're looking at your EXDC screen, you want to know what the two adjust is going to do. Look at the other screen; it'll give you what the two is going to do. And Jimmy can give you a good. Probably will be able to describe infinite much better than I can.
Vic didn't use the two screen. It came out of EXDC, but he didn't get the place for it. So I decided he said, if you do this, if you do that, you'll get the trifecta. So I said, Vic, you don't have to do it. Just use the two adjust and you get your trifecta. Is that the same race that has a trifecta?
No,
that's the next race.
Yeah. The next race.
Let me just answer that once and for all. If Louisiana Downs runs sustained according to your handicapping, then it's a sustained track. If it runs early according to his, it's early. It's depending on how you handicap it, what pace lines you put and how you do it. Vic knows it from his perspective to be favor in his earlier readouts. You might do it and find out it favored presser. When I do it, it favors presser. When somebody else, Jimmy did it and favored sustained. It's how you handicap it. Now, Vic's talking about the energy yield from the results charts, are you not?
Exactly.
That's right. He's talking about results charts.
No, wait a minute.
No?
My results. I don't use the charts.
All the results from your handicap.
Okay, that's back to results. My handicap results.
Everybody picks different pace lines. Everybody handicaps differently. Everybody does things, and you have to verify it for yourself. The young man over here who said that sportsmen ran early, I want you to get in touch with. See that man back there with the suspenders and the belt? He's a pessimist. He has to wear both. The man with a big drink in his hand, that's Paul Caldwell, who lives and wins and makes his living in sportsmen. Go tell him it runs early. You'll have some fun together. Will you do that?
Yeah, remember, the key to all this is what you do when you pick your pace lines, when you underline that line that the winner reflects what the winner did. That's your handicapping. That's what you do. And that's what you're going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So you got to know what you're doing, what the things you do, what they mean. And to me, when I do it, my stuff comes up that the early numbers are significant related to the winners, because I took my work and picked the winners out of it, and that's what it tells me is winning.
Yeah, Vic?
Yes?
Yeah, I use EXDC as well as Entropy, and what I've noticed, over the last 2 weeks, the in column, whether in EXDC or in Entropy, I've been picking the winner in 1-2. And so far, all the races that we've worked, I've noticed that the winner is also in 1-2 of the in column. Is this coincidence, or can you confirm any findings on it?
Well, I haven't looked at that, but I certainly, if you found that, I would stick with it, because that's the thing that I look for in going over what I did, is where are the winners? And when you get to whatever you see tells you who the winners are, something that you're doing puts the winners in those columns. And don't change. Stay with it. Just look there for your confirmation of what to pick for your winners. Somebody else doing that same race may get the winner using something else in a different way than you did. But you know, you're you, and when you learn what you do, what your strength is, whatever you, however you want to call what this thing is that you do, when you learn that, stay with it. But you're just, when you do, evaluating the past performances of what you have done, You're measuring your own performance in terms of what it means relative to the redox. When you've got a handle on that, like I had in my case on the tracks that I played, I know that the way I normally do it, that under these conditions, if I got this set of numbers that are in this particular arrangement, there's my winner. Those are my winners. Unless the track changes for some reason. There's been a long period of rain, some other factor comes in there, but all conditions being equal, these are the normal results on a fast track at Louisiana Downs. And I picked Louisiana Downs because it runs from May until Thanksgiving. You know, tomorrow is the last day. It's a good long run. You learn what the track's doing, you got a good long run. Fairgrounds will pick up in about a week, and it's gonna run until next April. It's a good long run. So I don't have to every few weeks trying to figure out what the track's doing. I'm looking to make it as easy for me as possible. I want to be relaxed when I do this. I don't like the tension I felt when I first started trying to do this and working all night and getting up early in the morning and all morning and arguing with my wife about why I wasn't talking to her, why I'm spending all these hours in my room on the computer and the rest of this stuff. It was all grinding, and I didn't enjoy that. Now when I do my handicapping, it's a piece of cake. I'm not nervous. I'm very relaxed. And for any reason I get uptight, I put it down, I go back in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, I relax. I make sure that what I'm doing, I enjoy it all while I'm doing it. There is no tension at all, whatever am I doing handicapping anymore.
Well, I used to be shy too, you know, you couldn't stay on more than 5 minutes without wanting to quit.
Telling me to get off now?
Now I want to get to it. I think you made a hell of a good point there. The bottom line of what his point was, whatever, save your readouts. And the ones that are winning for you at any given track, that's how the track's running. That's what he's trying to tell you, because you might come up with entirely different. Thank you, Vic. Vic will be back. That's why everybody gets two races. Bruce Jorgensen from Washington said, I can do two races. Once. And we'll time you. Bruce Jorgensen. This will take you to the Evergreen State, to the glories of Washington. Land of beautiful trees, beautiful women, and beautiful horses. Cheap, but beautiful.
What about the horses?
We've got a whole of Scandinavian women up there. They're not cheap.
I said horses. I wouldn't say that, yeah, but you know me. I'm not a chauvinist. You pig, you call. Hey, guys. Hi, guys.
Howard, when he said to bring a couple races, I understood a couple of things that we wanted, or was the emphasis of what to do, and this was how you do a race. And I do some first placement playing cheap tracks, maybe a little bit different than some of your tracks you play, maybe not. I think cheap track is a better track to play myself, you get better prices. And they're very understandable and easy when you know what you're doing. I have some, they're not rules, they're guidelines, and some items that I do on a race and go through each horse and do these things. Always. Every horse. And then I come back and I start picking out the horses I want to keep and the pace lines I'm going to use and such as this. And you might use these as a check, a little checklist. You might not want to. I don't know. It's up to you. I'm fortunate when I look at a horse, at the past performance of the horse, where are my races here? No, I've got a printout at home. Did I leave those laying on my desk there, Tip?
Yes.
There's a little better printout than what's in that thing. It's bigger. I'm getting older.
You want a magnifying glass?
No, sir. Thanks, Tip. Anyway, I am fortunate in fact that when I look at the race, I can, and at a horse's past performance, I can pretty well see the entire past performance at one time. I don't have to do a lot of...
Rose, don't tell us what you can do. Tell them how they can do what...
Well, okay, I'm getting to that, doctor. And I get several factors that I put down. It takes me probably 15 seconds to put down these items on a horse. Might take you a little bit longer, but you practice if you want to do it, and you'll do them quicker. I go through these horses one at a time, and I do all these steps. I don't do them necessarily in this order, but I do all of these steps. First thing is read the conditions of the race. I want to know exactly what the race is about, what kind of horses are running, their age, non-winners, etc. Okay, then I start down looking at the horses individually, each horse's past performance. I underline, I use a red pencil, people use whatever you want, I underline every single win on that page for the horse except for maiden wins. Maiden wins, he doesn't necessarily run his running style. This tells me that it's amazing how quickly that ESP of that horse stands out if you've underlined all of his win races. And it also tells you what the horse likes to win at, doesn't it? Distance, whether it's off tracks, etc. You can start getting a quick feel for these things. Then I look at his last race of the horse, and I prefer it to be at close to the distance. If not, I'll go back another race. And I take his speed rating as published there, and I take one half the variant. I add those two items together. Why do I take one half the variant? I come from part of the country where we get all kinds of snow, where we get freezing, where we get thawing, and we do not have a very steady track condition across the entire year. And so I found that the variant has errors in it. By taking half of the variant, I level out these errors a little bit. So I take the speed rating plus half the variant, and I put that above the horse. You put it wherever you want. I put it kind of around where the weight of the horse is, or the weight that he's carrying. I put this number down. And then I look at the horse. I look at his last four races. And I see which is the fastest race, what's the fastest he has done in the last four races at the appropriate approximate distance. I take the speed rating and half the variant. I put this to the left of the horse's name. I ESP the horse. I hope there's everybody in this room will. Nobody would ever miss ESPing their horse. Now you come to me, and now another item I do, and honest to God, in these cheap tracks, I think this is probably the very most important thing that I do on a horse. I look and see where he ran in his last race. By that, I want to know if this horse was top half of his field. Now, I do not use the pluses and zeros. I use top half to rate a horse. And I don't care if he's fourth. By 16 lengths, if there was eight horses in that race, he's top half. And over on the right hand, alongside of the number of horses in the race, the very right hand side, I place a check mark if he's top half. If there's an uneven amount of horses in the race, i.e. nine horses, and he's fifth, I give the advantage to the horse. And then I will run down his past races and check his top halves. Put checks on his other top halves. Now think about this top half for just a minute, guys. Oh, Howard's going to get me for that. Guys and gals, I'm sorry. You know, to me, average is, there's half on each side of an average, isn't there? Okay, Top half is an exact dividing point for doing above average or below average. Is it or is it not? I have kept thousands of records of winning horses in my database. Gain on pace, early speed ratings, PBS numbers, on and on. And by far, at my track, by far, the biggest common item that I come up with winners is top half of the field. Like, towards 80% of the winners have that characteristic. At least at my cheap tracks. I brought along a couple of examples. This is out of the last follow-up. And I'm not trying to throw any darts or shoot anything or anything at all. But just out of our last follow-up, which you all have, I hope, there's a race, and Doc used it as an example on selecting the contenders by using the speed rating and the buyer number and so on. There happens to be two horses in that race that are top half. One of them is class deficient. The other top half won the race. Spencer has got his problem race at the end of the follow-up and does lots of contender selection and various items. There are two horses in that race that are top half. They ran first and second. Again and again and again. I find in these cheap races, again and again, there will only be one or two horses in top half. I just go bet them. You'd be surprised what you win. Not that I don't use the machine, I do. But pay attention to this thing on the cheap tracks. I don't play your expensive tracks. I can't say that it's like this in all your tracks, but I've kept the records on the three cheap tracks I play, and it's fact. Okay, I've belabored that one enough. I note if the horse is dropping, and I place this up above the to the right of the horse's name if he's dropping, I find that almost every winner I have has one or two characteristics. He's either dropping or top half. I note the earnings box. And I code if he's successful at this distance and at this track. Everybody can use their own type of coding. If I like something about a horse, I put a circle around it. If I don't like something about a horse, I put a square around over it. I like to see if he can win at this distance and see if he can win at this track. And I take a look at the trainer. I do not bet trainers, but I sure as heck do not bet trainers that win one race for 63 outs. I want to know that this trainer has the ability to win with the horses. Okay, I do these things to the horses. I go down the race and do this horse by horse. Yes?
What does the A and the B's mean?
That's my tandem marks. A tandems, B tandem, C Charlie would be another tandem if there's more than one.
Thank you.
You bet. I go down through the horses one by one and do this. And this, and if I have to, if I obviously see horses that do not, that are not matching up at all, I'll scratch some horses right at this time. And I always usually get rid of part of the field right now as I go through. This also tells me how my race is setting up. I know after I've gone through each horse like this, and I can remember this, if I've got one early or two earlies or five earlies or no earlies, and what the kind of the speed ratings are ending up being. The top layer. I know these things. And I remember this as I go through the race, horse by horse. Probably 3 minutes to do the entire field to what I've talked about so far. Now I start handicapping the race. I put down my data and I start handicapping the race. I go back to these speed ratings. I talked about the speed ratings that we did at the for his last race at kind of the distance, where I put it right up above the weights. I take a look at these speed ratings, And the higher level of speed ratings, the top two, five, I don't know. Let's see where the break is on the speed ratings. I circle. I'm going to like these horses. I got my checks off to the right-hand side that tells me if he's ran top half. I go over to the left column of my form, and this is where I've taken the speed rating for his, out of his last four races, right? And now I want to find out who's been the fastest horses lately, not just last race, but lately. And I go through, look at these numbers, and you got to use your head. There's no rule. Select what is your top layer of these. Might be two, might be five, I don't know. Depends how the race sets up. And I circle these. I circle my drops, where I've said if a horse is a dropper, where I put a D. Now I'm ready to go back and pick the horses I'm going to use, that I'm going to keep, and I'm going to use the pace line, I'm going to pick the pace line, and I'm going to play them one way or another. Or maybe not play. But anyway, this is where, this has been very mechanical to this point. A little bit of thinking, but not a lot of thinking. Now I start handicapping and thinking. By the way, I'm back in that top half. If it's a sprint today and the horse has ran routes, his last race or races, I will look at it at the sixth furlong. And if he's top half at the sixth furlong, he gets a check for being top half. If he's top half at the end of his route, he gets a check for being top half. Any questions to this point? Sure.
On the top half, you referring to just the last race or all four races?
The last one is most important, and if you'll note on my races that I've got there, I'll run clear down the line on horses. That gives me the history of that horse. I'll keep checking down the line. But for betting him today, it's most important today that he was last race. But I love a horse that's been top half today and top half the last four or five races. Hey, that horse has been running better than average for four or five times. He's getting ready to get in there and have his picture taken. And that's what I'm looking for, the horse that's going to get his picture taken. Any more questions at this point? Okay. Why don't we look at one of the races and do one? I understand we're going to be up here twice. So why don't we do the one that's got the fewer marks and the easiest? And I'll do the one that's got... Which would you rather I do? Mark the one with most marks or the...
Second.
The second one? Okay. That's the one that starts with Big Bad Blue?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. And that is page, 23? And really, you do a race like this. Okay. This race, I love this race.
I knew that.
Okay, going down the line, one horse at a time. Let's just go down through him and ignore the circles, because I haven't put the circles on yet my first run through, okay? Big Bad Blue. Here's a horse that, you see I've underlined its wins. I've checked off to the right side where it's been top half of its field. I did not put a speed rating down for Big Bad Blue. Reason I didn't, look over to the left at the circle at the races. They're five and a halves and fives. You don't get a good comparable speed rating from those short distances up to a reasonable sprint. So I did not put down a current speed rating for Big Bad Lou. And note my remarks on Big Bad Lou. It's 1-3. I question, can it win four in a row? I go down lower on the horse since it's shipping into my track. And I do note that it has won at Playfair. So I make the remark that it can win at Playfair, and I went back and picked a speed rating out of Playfair, which is the race from 18 October to give me kind of a feel of how fast that horse can run at Playfair. That's that 84 plus half of 17, drop the odd number, and you got 16, 8, and 82. 8 and 84 makes 92, right? Okay, everybody with me on Big Bad Lou? Okay, I come to Bargainland. Bargainland, last race. It's an 88 plus an 11, which gives me a 93 for a speed rating for its last race. Notice the checks on the right-hand side for when he ran top half. Ran top half very consistently. Note my square in the box, the earnings box. He's ran this distance 16 times and hasn't been there. The horse is an 11-year-old. I got a square around that. I don't like that at all. The horse is dropping. I continue onward. We come to Yakuza. Yakuza, now that I got a square around its 9-year-old age, I've given its last speed rating, 86 plus half of 11, gives it a 91. I look over on the right-hand side up to do the top halves. The horse has a legitimate excuse for last race, does it not, when a broken air? So I'm ignoring that. I'm going back to the second race to give him a top half. Notice the circle in his earnings box. This horse has won 5 out of 20 at this distance. Also likes to win at Playfair. And out of the last 4 races, by the way, this race out of the last 4, I expect the horse to be part of the race when I give him his rating. I don't take just exactly the fastest speed rating. I expect him to be somehow part of the race. He gets the 94 at which is his best race ever at Playfair, and his second race back, 94 plus half of 10 gives him a 99. You'll note at this time I also selected the pace line I'm going to use for him. I generally use the best line out of his last 4 races unless I think it's wrong. This is where your innate learning and insights come into bear. I'm generally around the best pace line. I went to his 4th back. I don't think this old 9-year-old can run a 94 again. Nallow Dancer. I look at Nallow Dancer. The horse has won 2 out of 9 at this distance. Was top half of the middle of that route last time. At the 6 furlong, he was 4th out of 10 horses, so I gave him a rating of top half last time. I can't give him another rating for top half till way down to 2 August, which I didn't put in. This horse isn't any place. I crossed it off. I've got a 96 for him by the speed ratings, but I can tell by his top half shows he's no place. Here comes Gallant Liberty. Bottom horse on the page. How come you guys are turning? Is that on the next page for y'all? No. They did a little bit of editing on this one from what I said. Okay. Gallant Liberty. Last race. An 88 plus half of 11 for 93. Likes to win at the distance. Top half, starting second race back, and then for 3 or 4 in a row. But looking at his speed ratings, notice last race he ran an 88. And that's right with the speed ratings he's been running, where he was top half. The horse did not go off form. And I drew that, see that vertical line there? That's to tell me that's okay. This is part of my coding. And he gets a 100 for his best race out of his last 4. That's that 94 plus half of 12. You can see my remark alongside the horse at this point, ITM. I knew right now that this horse is going to be in the money someplace, and he's going to be part of a trifecta if I did decide to play a trifecta. Moving forward. What's the name of this next horse?
Smithers Sandwich.
Okay. The horse is top half quite a bit. Likes to run at the track. Has a 93. out of his last race, a 103 is his best one. Best out of the last four. Everybody follow what I'm, my numbers so far? Real runner?
Not that last one.
You know, you have a problem, which number you got a problem with?
Smoother sailing.
Smoother sailing, that's our next horse.
That's your next horse?
Yeah.
I want Rusty's my next horse.
Yeah. Well, you scratched those two.
I better look at what got printed.
That's okay, they're scratched.
They're scratched.
Okay, I'm on Rusty. I just got done with Rusty with the 103. You got Rusty?
Yeah.
Okay. Real runner? You got a real runner?
Real runner.
Real runner's not there, or he's a scratch. She got smoother sailing?
Yeah.
Okay, smoother sailing. Notice the horse not top halves. I'm throwing him out. Sure rough.
Yeah.
Top half last race, real deep. Slow speed ratings, I threw him out. He's a Lomax.
Yeah.
He's dropping. He's been top half, not the last race, but before then, coming off a route, got a 93, or his best out of his last four. So that's how I've gone through the horses, and I have marked them up. Now, let's take our pace lines. What horses are we going to keep? There's one early in this race, isn't there? That's Big Bad Lou. It's only early in the race. Better keep it. My check mark is on the line of 18 October. That's the line I used. By the way, on these six, about six and a halves at Playfair, that about six and a half is 6.318 furlongs. And I know they say to use the six and a half, not take the six, but 6.3 doesn't work in our program, so I run the six and a halves as a six. I take them at the six call. Okay, Yakuzi, I'm going to take his, I'm not going to use his 94, his best race. I'm going to, and since it's a six, it's a six and a half today, but I would rather use the six than take an internal out of the six and a half, so I'm using his fourth back, 13 August. Nano Dancer, I'm throwing out. Gallant Liberty, last race. Rusty, last race. Real Smoother, Sure Rough, not going to use. Sure Lomax, he's a Lomax. I don't really like the horse, but I want to put five horses in. Going back to its third race, going to use it as a six furlong. Any questions? Yes, back to room. For who?
He's a Lomax.
I'm going to use the six and a half for third race back, but use it as a six. I'm going to take a six furlong time.
Okay.
Okay, into the machine we go.
Wait.
Yes. You do it. That's what we were here for.
What was the question?
Thank you.
Oh, the question was, you have a six and a half furlong race here, but you're going to enter the six furlong portion of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you why he's doing that. In Spokane, because of the shortness of that track, it is okay. I said that you verify this at your own track. If the six furlong time in a six and a half furlong race is comparable to the six furlong time at that track, then you can do it. I happen to know Playfair very well, and because of its short distance, it's not a full mile track, the six furlong time is comparable. So that's why he's doing it. That doesn't mean that he's disagreeing with me. It is local knowledge. Make sure that at your track, that is a fact, and then you can do it. It will not work at major ovals of a mile.
Howard's absolutely correct. And at Playfair, if I use that about six and a half as a six and a half, you buy every line you put in because it's only 3/10 instead of a full 5/10 of that last half of a furlong. Okay, my printouts. I go to the energy generator first. So Howard put in some extra printouts in here on this. Didn't he? We'll take a look at it. Okay. First printouts, these are some that Howard generated on the new programs. And you can note that the rankings on the sergeant pace numbers picked out basically the same horses. Did not pick out Heza, and I use Heza just to have a fifth horse. And there you have his readouts. I think they go to they're ranking them. You got the probabilities. It shows the probability of Gallant and Yakuzi as the best audit ones. He used a different pace line than Yakuzi than I did. Okay, page 68 with printouts that I did. The energy generator, giving the energy for the horses. And then in trophy, I'd like to take a look at the par medians and the DTE. DTE says Rusty and Gallant. You look out at the composite sort, it shows Gallant as the low, Rusty as the second low. Move across to the readout from Thermation. Gallant, Rusty, and Heza. By the way, another thing, track knowledge, Heza's way outside of his bull ring. Becomes weaker and weaker. And then look at my paragons. And look at the EXDC and deceleration charts. Hell, Rusty and Gallant just absolutely own everything.
Would you adjust that night?
Pardon?
Would you adjust it to adjust?
But would I do it exactly?
No,
I did not to adjust.
Where's the microphone?
Would you adjust this?
He asked me if I to adjusted. No, I did not to adjust.
Even though the total energy is more than three different, eh?
That's correct.
Okay.
It takes quite a bit before I to adjust. And that's my track knowledge. I'll to adjust on shippers and so on a lot more than I will on these horses. The results are printed on page 72. The Dutch was Gallant and Rusty. Now look at here. Suddenly I bought these two horses. I Dutched these two horses. I Dutch even. I don't Dutch 60-40. I Dutch even. Unless one horse is so low that I just have to. And I brought the Exacta. I put them both on top of played them 1-2 and a couple other horses in show for the trifecta. And look at there. Look at the gift. $19.80 for Gallant Liberty. $2 Exacta paid $55 and Tri paid $85. Suddenly, just a so-so day was several hundred bucks of profit. You can all do these things. I think that's quite a. There's some. Those are not rules that I use for these items that I do in the horses to start with. Those are guidelines. And you might want to think about it and see if it works. Something like that works for you in your track. Anyway, that's how I handicap these cheap races. Any further questions? Yes, a question right there.
You're not using the deceleration cars as you used to?
I use entropy now.
Deceleration cars.
Was it four?
His research on deceleration cars led to the creation of entropies.
And
thanks to Bruce and Sam Wada, we found out where the strengths were and how to use it, and we were able to condense it for you so you wouldn't have to go through all of the labor that Bruce did. Now, there's a lot of rain up there, a lot of nights when he has nothing to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Except beat his wife, but we got to get a chauvinist. You'd be happy to know that the lady over there says I'm a chauvinist, too.
Oh, right.
So, I don't want to apologize, but I want to explain something. You'll frequently hear me being harsh with people who ask questions and being harsh sometimes with the speakers. I'm not doing that because I'm a crotchety, mean old man. I'm doing that because I love you and I want you to win. When I hear somebody say something that I know is going to cost them and make them lose, I will get very harsh with you. So expect that, you newcomers who don't know me. I will be harsh with you because my one goal in life is to make you winners. I'm the clinician, you're the patient. And this is what you call confrontational therapy. So if I shout at you or pound my fist at you, it's not because I'm angry with you. It's because I love you and I damn near want you to win. I'm getting old now. And I haven't got many years left to see you all become winners. So I'm going to be very harsh, and I hope you will, I won't say forgive me, I hope you will understand the motive behind my being harsh with you or the speakers, for that matter.